Grace and peace to all who gather here in God's name, according to His living Spirit, which walks with us and leads us on our way. The text for today is this second chapter of Acts, and especially verses 9 to 11, where we hear about all of these nationalities. We hear mentioned Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. These said, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." This is our text, dear friends. Please be seated. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This was the collective statement of incredulation, incredible amazement on the day of Pentecost. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. If you've ever been overseas in a place where English is not the main language of the street, then you know the feeling of, if perhaps English, like me, if English is your only language, you know the feeling of being unable to communicate really freely and in the way that might come naturally if you were in Canada or another place. You know the feeling of being out of sorts when you walk into a restaurant, perhaps, and are looking for a simple helper to lead you through those things that we take for granted. I was in Quebec once, the first time I ever was in Quebec, with my soon-to-be wife, Andrea. We had been traveling, delivering a car from one part of Canada to another, and we walked into a gas station, and I realized that they were speaking French in there, but it was also a Harvey's, and I wanted to have a hamburger. So I asked Andrea, because she speaks French, I asked her, would you kindly order my hamburger for me? I just feel nervous. I don't think that I could speak French in this place. I had high school French, but she walked right up to the counter and said, "He would like a hamburger." And I learned that day that most of those who were speaking French could also speak English. You know the paralyzing feeling of being unable to communicate in that place. You might also have recognized at some point the absolute gift of grace when you hear someone speaking the language that you speak. What a gift it was then that God's Spirit gave the apostles, those who were gathered in the upper room, this gift of being able to speak in languages they had never learned. Looking out the window that day, they saw all kinds of foreigners speaking all kinds of languages. I don't even know where all of these place names are. If you have a study Bible, it might give you some hints, but the point is, people had come from far and wide and were in Jerusalem for that feast of the day of Pentecost, and many of them had no ability to speak Aramaic or Greek or any of the other languages that were usual in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, was a very multicultural place. Now, what would have happened that day if Jesus' disciples, those who were sent out, what would have happened if they'd looked out the door or the window of the room that they were staying in and seen all of these foreign people and said, "Well, I would go out there, but I don't speak those languages"? What would have happened if they, like we had thought with our natural logical minds and said, "Well, I really wish I'd taken those languages in school, but I just didn't, and so I'm going to get out there and be unintelligible"? What would have happened if they had decided, "I don't think I can go out there because that language is not one that I speak"? Of course, that isn't what happened. God worked a miracle through them. And this is the point, dear friends, is that the text shows us that God does not call us what we can do. God does not call us to do what we can do by our own human reason or by our own ability. But God calls us to be obedient to Him, to follow Him, and to follow the Spirit as He sends us out into the midst of an impossible situation and makes it possible. I share this thought, this imagined thought of the apostles in the upper room looking out the window and saying, "Well, it's just impossible for me to go out there because I don't speak those languages," because sometimes here in this place, we can have the same attitude, can't we? I wonder what your expectations, your vision for this place might include in the best case scenario. Sometimes I wonder that myself, and I even jot it down at the beginning of the week. What am I hoping will happen? And sometimes I have to honestly confess that my vision is very small. Perhaps a few new members might join. There might be some visitors this coming weekend. Maybe an inactive member, someone whom we haven't seen for quite a while, will return, re-engage with the congregation. My vision sometimes is very small. It's according to what I think might be possible, might be manageable. But God's plan is not small. God's plan does not see impossible or possible, but His vision is huge. God's plan is that dead people will be raised and that people on the brink of despair will find joy and purpose again. God's plan is that His eternal kingdom of grace, where all people are invited to come and be transformed by His living word, would be established and represented here, even through a whole bunch of different gifted people who don't always know how to work together as a team. Through the sanctification of normal people by His Almighty Spirit, God works the impossible and His kingdom is built. Why do we sometimes settle for less? Why do we sometimes look out the window of our fort and say, well, I would go out there, but I don't speak that language? Can we hear the testimony of foreigners saying, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God? As I think about Grace Lutheran Church and what this community, what this neighborhood says about our congregation, may this be what people say about us. We hear them telling the mighty works of God in our own tongues, in our own language, in language we can understand. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, what is it that we're really talking about here when we say languages? Don't we all speak English here in Edmonton? Some of us do, many of us do, but actually there are hundreds of languages spoken in Edmonton, and our reach, our proclamation might just be limited by the idea that it has to happen in English. In fact, those of you who are aware of the other half of our congregation, the Nuer group that comes from South Sudan, know that that whole category of people, Edmontonians who speak Nuer, who maybe are new Canadians who are coming from South Sudan, the channel of proclamation is open in Nuer as well. And people need to hear the good news of Jesus in that language too. And yet this is not just about natural language divides either, is it? It's not just about speaking English or Nuer or German or French. It's about speaking in a way that's intelligible, proclaiming in a way the saving love of Jesus in a language that's intelligible. I've been spending some time these last few months working with two different couples who are getting ready for their marriage. I use a tool while we go through some premarital counseling. It's a book by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. I wonder if you've ever heard of that book. It's becoming a well-known tool in communication. And the premise is very simple. The Five Love Languages teaches that we speak love and we hear love in basically five ways. Some of us use words of affirmation that verbally affirm love in each other. Some of us act out, serving one another with acts of service, and that's our love language. Some of us spend quality time with one another and hear love in that language primarily. Some of us give gifts and receive gifts. And then finally, physical touch is the fifth love language. And the point of the book is to teach couples, especially, that when you're aiming to communicate love to someone, you first have to know what language to speak. And if you're talking to someone who is good with words, who is often telling the people around them that they love them and that they are worthy and that their love is communicated verbally, then their primary love language is probably words, and you might say it in the right words to them and they might hear it. But if someone is constantly looking for ways to serve, maybe taking the jobs that nobody else will, cleaning up other people's messes, then it's likely that their love language is something else. It might be acts of service. And so no amount of words is going to really come through. Giving them gifts to say, I love you, might seem like a hollow gesture. And so the point is, we learn each other's love languages. Dear friends, in the same way, we must learn the language of the people in our lives that need to hear of God's love. We must learn to be students of the languages of God's people all around us, especially those who are different from us. When we look out the windows of our fort, we don't see Parthians and Medes and Elamites, at least not unless we're in those places. But we do see people who speak sometimes a different language than us. Millennials and university kids and seniors and those with disabilities and those who come as new Canadians with a completely different experience in their lives. We see professionals and singles living downtown, and we sometimes see all kinds of impossibilities. We don't speak those languages. At least we can tell ourselves that we don't. Now, we have the most incredible message, don't we? We have the message which is the treasure, the gem at the heart of human existence. An almighty and infinite God who nonetheless has time for each and every person, who cares about each child. A holy, perfect God who yet also brims with compassion for his very far from perfect creatures who have fallen away. We have the most incredible message. It's a jewel, a treasure at the center of our worship, a humble servant king who enters into the complex lives of his beloved people, the painful lives of humanity, walking as a savior, a willing and gentle savior who goes towards the worst violence that the world can dish out to him, and through his own death dismantles violence with his love, a conquering and glorious Easter hero who rises from the dead and returns to his chosen ones, naming them and giving them hope beyond death. This is the message, and this is the greatest message that there is. Dear friends, we have the message of a trusting and faithful master who trains his disciples to come along behind and take over, entrusting to them the most powerful work in the universe. And we have this message of an abiding and guiding spirit who comes upon his people, giving them authority and power, who will never depart from us. What an incredible message we have. But how do we speak it? What is the language that you might use to communicate this message of love and care in Jesus? It's truly unlike any other message. Its very audacity bears witness to its authenticity. For who in the right mind would make up a message like the message of the Christian faith? I'm convinced that when translated properly, when translated carefully, when translated into the unique heart love language of each individual in the world, this message of God's love is irresistible. What I mean by that is that there isn't a soul on earth who would not want to be part of this if they really got it, if they could grasp the love of God in their own heart language. If only we could translate it into a language that was intelligible, that made sense, just as it has made sense to you and to me. I thought for a while when I was younger that I would become a Bible translator. I thought of this shape of missionary life in foreign countries where maybe in that language that some people speak, there isn't a written Bible. And I had friends that I worked with during the summertime that had grown up in families like that, where their parents had been Bible translators with Wycliffe or SIL, and had lived in places like Papua New Guinea or Cameroon and had done Bible translation. We explored that idea after Andrew and I were married for a couple of years and went and lived in Cameroon for a little while. And the idea, the process of Bible translation is still something that I feel is very close to my heart, but we also had an epiphany while we were there that we could still be Bible translators even if our natural language was English, we could still be translators of this message. And as Eugene Peterson, the famous theologian and author of The Message, translation of the Bible, put it, we are all Bible translators standing between two worlds, standing between the world of the Scriptures and the world that God has placed us in to live and to move and to have our being. We are really all translators of this message of love which has come to our hearts and has become intelligible to us. Sometimes we have to work really hard to separate this message from the surrounding layers, the politics or our own human agendas which can come into play. Sometimes we must patiently work through and tend to the wounds, the long, deep-lived pain caused sometimes even by other representatives of this message. We must spend the time with people to understand how do they speak and how will they hear love. Many of us don't have that kind of patience. We give up too easily. Like the apostles looking out the window might have done, we look out and we see impossible. But God does not see impossible. His patience, His Spirit, His presence guides us to be the kind of people that He has enabled us to be. Speaking languages that we've never learned, following the Spirit's guidance and leadership. And so, dear friends, I invite you to learn a new language, the language of the people around you, to be able to proclaim God's love to them. May this day of Pentecost be for us a patient and powerful learning experience. May we learn to speak this message, the jewel of our faith, in the languages all around us, in the languages of our world. And may the miraculous, transformative, and eternal love of the infinite and almighty God be reflected through us to all people, everywhere. Amen. And now may the peace which comes from being in God's Spirit, surrounded by His protection, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus for all time. Amen.